Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I love that song. I just love the fact that we can come to the Lord and stand redeemed before Him. And so much of that just goes with the message, really. Today, I want to talk to you about a rest for the people of God. I don't know about you, but I get tired. And we hear the phrase sometimes, sick and tired. I see what's going on in the world today, and I see how much it's affecting our youth and us and all over the world and in different ways, but it's not good. A lot of things are not good. And you see it probably in the instruction of your children in the schools, how they're trying to push agendas left and right onto your children. Folks, if you don't take hold of their education, who knows what the next generation is going to believe. I'll tell you, they're not wanting to let you believe in Christ. In any way and form of Jesus Christ in schools, they're pushing it out. Is there any wonder why we have so much crime and other problems in the United States especially? Well, anyway, I get tired. I get very tired of these things. And it's a constant battle. It's a constant struggle. If you don't know that yet, then maybe you're not in the fight. But it is. It's a constant battle. And so I want to choose a portion of scripture this morning that talks about the rest for the people of God. There's coming a day, folks. We've actually sung about it. We said, what a day that will be. That will be the day of rest for each and every one of you that believe in Jesus Christ. If you put your faith in Him, you have a special day coming. Amen. And it's not necessarily when you die. Of course, that's when your labors cease. But if the rapture were to occur right now, how many of you would be ready? That's a question you need to be asking yourself right now, this moment. You don't even have to wait till the end of the sermon to come forth and give your heart to Christ. I would urge you, in fact. But let's read from Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 7, which the writer of Hebrews, we think it might be Paul, not sure, but anyway, the writer of Hebrews is now talking about and making a transition into the discussion of what's going to happen to the people of God. Okay, what's going to be our ultimate end? So in this case, and by the way, anytime you see the word wherefore, it means therefore, and you have to go back prior to this scripture to see what Paul or whoever was talking about. To put it in context, context means to interpret the scripture as in the subjects he was talking about. So in this case, he goes, wherefore? Meaning after he just discussed what came before it. But now the writer of Hebrews goes into a very long sentence. You may have heard in school what's called a run-on sentence. This scripture goes on for at least five verses, I believe. Four or five. So let's notice that little parenthesis right before the word as. So, and you'll see where the closing parenthesis is. So we're going to read to verse 11 and we're going to pause. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. So He's saying, if you're listening, if you have a heart for God, don't harden it. Listen. Listen, if you hear His voice, God is constantly speaking in ways we don't even realize. And hopefully people are listening. So harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years. Verse 10, wherefore I was grieved. Who was grieved? The Lord was grieved. He has feelings, folks. He can be grieved. There's a scripture that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, you can grieve the Lord. So the Lord was grieved, and we'll find out why in a moment. He was grieved with that generation that was in the wilderness, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Verse 11. And let's pause here. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Notice that closing parentheses. One big long sentence to say that God was upset and displeased with a bunch of people. Who were these people? These were the people that were coming out of the Egypt nation. You can read that story in Exodus. When Moses led the children of the Hebrews out of the Egypt and into the wilderness. Now, what's interesting is that the place they were destined to go was only less than a month's journey. Less than a month. How long did they wander? 40 years. That's something that should have taken them a month to get there. Well, the Lord says, and by the way, this is an interpretation of Psalm 95. Psalm 95, I think verses 7 through 11. But anyway, the writer of Hebrews is going back all the way to the psalm, and he's interpreting that for us. And he's saying, the Lord was displeased with his chosen people. And he brought them out through great miracles and wonders and signs. And he brought them out. They even saw the parting of the Red Sea. They even saw that, went across it, was not hurt or anything. And then they saw the Egyptian army just destroyed by the Red Sea as it collapsed in on itself. Now, we think maybe, well, if I'd seen that, boy, don't you know I would have been serving the Lord and I would have been committed to Him? Folks, we've seen a lot more than that. We've seen so much. And our hearts are hardened. And that's what happened to them. They started to harden their hearts. And they didn't want to hear the voice of God. They didn't want to pay attention to His mighty works that He had used to bring them out of such a horrible life. He was bringing them to a place of rest. They had labored for over 400 years under the very tough rule of the Pharaohs. 400 years. And they were tired. They were sick and tired. And God sent a deliverer, Moses, to deliver them out from Egypt to a place of rest. But He was so displeased with them that He swore. You know, this is something interesting about God. He doesn't have to swear. Whatever God says is going to happen. But He swore an oath to Himself. Who else can He swear it to? Swore an oath to Himself that they shall not enter into my rest. Now let's continue. Verse 12. Now the message comes to us. He just referenced a time in history that was very important. And He's reminding us about this time in history, and now He's talking to us. So He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. What? An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you realize unbelief is a sin? I know you probably think, well, everybody has some unbelief. Well, probably. But God is calling it a sin. He said it's an evil heart. I know it's hard to swallow, but I'm not here to make you feel good, necessarily. I hope I'm making you a little uncomfortable. You see, this is not just to the unbelievers. This is to Christians, folks. The writer of Hebrews is writing to who? Brethren. Think about this. Grasp it. Take heed, brethren. In other words, you better take notice. You better listen up. That's what we tell our kids, right? Listen up. I got something to tell you. So take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. And what does unbelief do? It departs from the living God. Folks, it can happen to anybody and everybody. You got to be careful. Take heed, he says. Verse 13. And again, this is us. This is what I'm doing right now. But exhort one another daily. Not just once every Sunday. Daily. Why do we need to be exhorted daily? Oh, we're such a fickle people. We tend to forget. If I were to ask you, has the Lord answered a prayer for anybody in here? He has me. Okay, a lot of hands went up. How easy it is to forget about that. Because when the next crisis comes up, we're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? We forget about what God has already done. We're kind of like the people in the wilderness, right? We all have a wilderness experience from time to time, that's for sure. But you don't stay there. So we need to exhort one another daily while it is called today. That's why I said, don't wait. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I'm calling out to you right now. The Lord is calling out to you right now. And he's saying, listen up. Time is short. You don't have much time. You may think you do, but you don't. And when that time is up, the expiration date is already here. So don't wait while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Isn't that interesting? He's talking to brethren, and he's saying you can be deceived by sin. How true. How true that many pastors and other leaders of churches and whatnot have now taken into their ministry, if you can believe it, a lot of the agenda of the world right now. Okay, with this LGBTQ plus, on and on and on, you could add 20 letters to it. But the thing is, they're embracing it. They're embracing it. And you might think, well, Earl, don't talk about that. I have to. Because it's not just for here, it's whoever hears on the CD. But that's not all. Let's not just focus on that. What about gossip? What about stealing? What about all these other sins that, well, we don't think it's so bad. It's just a little bit. I just told a small lie. Well, repent of it. Repent of it. All liars will have their part in where? The lake of fire. We don't want to have that. You know, you think I'm picking on some of these other things, but no. It's all related. It all goes to the same destination. Say amen. Folks, I'm exhorting you today, while it's still called today, while there's a day to be living in. Because I'm telling you, when this day is over, who knows what's going to be tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow for any of us. We don't know. And I'm telling you, with the way sicknesses and disease and all kinds of other things that come upon us without warning. No warning. Does anybody know somebody in their life who has either had a heart attack, stroke, or aneurysm, or something, and passed away with no warning whatsoever? I do. I know several. They did not have a chance to pause and say, Lord, forgive me. They did not have a deathbed to be on and say, Lord, my life is awful. Please forgive me. They didn't have that chance. We're not promised. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if, don't forget that little two-letter word, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Some people have a good beginning. They'll give their heart to the Lord, and you can actually see this in the parable of the soils. Because when Jesus told the parable of the soils, other than the one that fell on the path where it was trampled, the others accepted it. But when the cares of this world grew up, what happened? It choked out the word. People stopped believing. Just because people have a good start don't mean they're going to be steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. And while it is said, today, if you were hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. The provocation was in the wilderness, 40 years of the wilderness, the Hebrew children were continually provoking the Lord. That's the provocation. They were provoking him, and they were upsetting him, making him grieved and mad to the point he swore an oath that they would not enter into his rest. Again, Psalm 95, go read it. And so he said, don't harden your hearts. Unfortunately, when people will hear this message, they will just bypass it. Wave it off. Yes, there he goes. Pastor again talking about the coming of the Lord. Yeah. I've heard that all my life. Don't harden your hearts, folks. Verse 16, he says this. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. In verse 17. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Now, I think the writer is asking, well, who was it? Who was he upset with? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? These were the people who would not go into the land of Canaan. Remember they sent the story where they sent 10 spies? Okay, that's a very interesting story. And a lot of people just, you know, they think, oh, wow, that's nice. That's a good story in the Bible. But it's being carried forth. It's being carried over into the New Testament to the point to where it becomes an example for us. And that example is this. So when 10 spies go into the land that the Lord has already said, I will give you this land. And yes, there were people in there, and there were heathens, and there were worshipers of Baal and other gods that are just heathen-type gods, not the living God. And they sent 10 spies in there, and out of 10, only 2 said, it's a good land, the Lord has given it to us, we can do it. The other people were saying, my goodness, those guys are big. And talk about over-exaggeration. They're so big, we look like grasshoppers. Now, think about that. Look how tall I am versus a grasshopper that might be this tall. That would have to be probably a 200 or 300 foot guy out there, okay? A grasshopper is only that. Anyway, over-exaggeration. But what did the people believe? The 8. They didn't believe Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can do it. The Lord's on our side. We can do it. Folks, we need a revelation that when God is on our side, we can do it. We can live this life. I don't care how bad it gets. We can live it. We can live this Christian life, and we can live for Christ. Or are we going to be like the 8 who will not believe? No, I'm sorry. I don't care. You know, I know God's powerful, but look how bad it is out in the world. No. That's being like the people in the wilderness. They doubted. They doubted, and the Lord was grieved. And it was for 40 years he put up with them. And because that they had sinned, they died. That's what he means when he says, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. They died, and they were buried in the sand. So let's close this up now with verse 18. And 19, but 18 he says, and to whom, meaning this group of people, the Hebrew children in the wilderness for 40 years, and to whom swear that they should not enter into his rest. This was God's rest. This was him giving them rest from all those years of slavery. And you might think, well, I've never been a slave. Yes, you have. You've been a slave to sin for who knows how many years. Now, some people were fortunate in that God saved them at an early time in their life and they were able to live as a Christian for all the rest of their life. But, you know, some people will come to the Lord and then they'll drift back. We call them backsliding, you know. They lose their first love, talks about in Revelations. And he said, go back and do those first things again. Do them over again. Well, what kind of things would that be? Repent, be one. Repent. If you've lost your first love, if that closeness to God has kind of gone away or at least feels like it's died out, I don't feel close to you anymore, God. What's going on? It's probably your heart. You may be deceived by some kind of sin. David even said in one of the Psalms, search me, he said. Wow, that's a scary thing to ask the Lord to do. Search me and see if there be any wickedness in my heart. And purge him with hyssop, he says. Hyssop was a thing that they used to help purge different thing. I forgot exactly how it was used, but the thing is, it was a thing where he said, I want to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this sin. Lord, whatever is separating between me and you, help me get rid of it. Search me and help me get rid of it and lead me into the way everlasting. That's what David said. Folks, that's a powerful prayer if you're willing to pray it. And if you don't, well, you're not going to enter into his rest, because it'll be to them that believe not. That's who he swore. That's who he was upset with. And verse 19, and we'll close on this. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Wow. Wasn't because they stole something. Wasn't because they killed somebody, if the singers would come. It was because of unbelief. They didn't believe God. Jesus says he's coming. He's coming again. Do you believe it? If you don't, you will not enter into his rest. I don't like to deliver bad news, but the good news is, if you accept Christ and you commit to living with him and living for him, there's a rest day coming for you, folks. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that time to where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more of my relatives and all these passing away, and I have to grieve over them. I am going to enter into a rest. I pray you join me. Father, as we come to you, Lord, now, we're going to sing Just As I Am. And Lord, that song tells us that we don't have to clean up before coming to you. We want to come just as we are right now. And Lord, if we come just as we are and we trade our sinful nature to your grace and love, even though that's not a fair trade, it's what you died for. And so God, I plead with the people in this congregation, Lord, and whoever hears me on the CD and audio, God, that they will commit their heart to you and remain steadfast until the end, so that we may enter into that rest and that joy of the Lord. Amen.